One time, I was walking by the church in Medjugorje, and there was a priest inside giving a talk to the people. And so I just opened the church to hear what he was saying. And this is the only thing I heard, but it was the only thing I needed to hear. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, he was the one who wrote the Memorare. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux once said, "I have never said one Hail Mary in my life without being distracted." And I went, phew, I thought I was the only one. That made me feel so good. That's part of our human condition. When we pray, there's usually all sorts of noises around. If we're in the house, the phone is ringing, and TV is on, and traffic's outside, and people are interrupting us, knocking on the door. It's hard to find any private place to pray. In my home, when I was living with my six younger brothers, the only private place was the toilet. But it seems that if nobody went to the toilet for 3 hours, as soon as you go in and lock that door, all of a sudden, bang, 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 I have to get in there, hurry up, right? But that's where everyone would go to be by themselves. So, in the Annunciation, Our Lady is by herself. She is in prayer. She is putting out of her mind all distractions. And I think of that first of all. I always picture Our Lady by herself. Every picture of the Annunciation shows Our Lady by herself. She's not in the kitchen with her parents. She's not outside with a bunch of friends. So I right away have to bring myself to the fact that I'm here to meditate by myself on the mysteries of Christ and Mary. Then I use the Hail Marys as background noise. Just the same way a lot of teenagers will play a radio or a tape deck at night in their room while they're going to sleep. I don't understand it. How can you sleep with the radio on? Do any of you do that, though? Do any of you go to sleep with music on in the background? Raise your hands if you do. Don't be embarrassed. See, there are some here. They have music on in the background. Do any of you ever do paperwork at home, writing letters, paying bills, doing homework with radio or TV or CD on in the background? I have to do that. If I have total silence, I'm distracted because I'm listening for every little noise. But if I have background noise going on, I can concentrate for some reason. So see, we're all different. Some of us need silence when we sleep. Some of us need little noise when we sleep. Some of us need noise when we're working. Some of us need silence when we're working. The rosary is meant to help us to create a little background. So the constant rhythm of the Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, starts to tune out some of the other noises. So never worry about the fact that you cannot concentrate on all the Hail Marys. You cannot humanly do that. But at the end of the rosary, I always make sure that I say my last Hail Mary with all my heart as a summary of the whole thing. God would rather receive one Hail Mary prayed well than 1,000 Hail Marys simply rattled off with no meaning. But now, why are we saying all these Hail Marys then? Doesn't Jesus say, don't be like the Pharisees who think they will win a hearing by the sheer multiplication of words? And people say, well, you're multiplying words. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Remember, that's how the children of Fatima prayed the Hail Mary. They never said the whole prayer. They went, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace. The angel had to come to them and say, no, you have to say the whole prayer. But why are we multiplying those words? It's not wrong to multiply the words. It's thinking that God is going to hear us simply by the number of Hail Marys we say. And Jesus says that. Do not think you'll win a hearing by the sheer multiplication of words, by the simple number of times you say the words. What happens if you say 49 Hail Marys and then you have a heart attack and die before you finish the 50th one? Does God say, oh, too bad, you would have gone to heaven if you finished that rosary. Too bad, only 49 doesn't count. Of course not. We win a hearing from God by what is in our heart. And this is what is meant by praying from the heart. That all the prayers, all the words we say, the rosary that we finger, the pictures that we look at, all of that is meant to help us focus on the real prayer, which is the meditation on the mysteries. So I thought it was great that we had the pictures to tell us the story of each mystery. And I do that in my mind. The first three or four Hail Marys, I picture in my mind the angel coming to Mary. What did the room look like? Was Mary seated Was she kneeling down? Was she maybe even lying back on her bed? A lot of us like to go to a room, we lie in our bed during the day, and we just lie back and think, you know. What was Our Lady doing? Then, the next few Hail Marys, I think, Mary was completely obedient to God. She said, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. How can I be obedient? What is happening in my life right now where God is asking me through somebody to do something that maybe I don't want to do? And then the last couple of Hail Marys, I say, God, help me now to be like Mary, obedient to your word. And I plan in my mind how I'm going to change my attitude to be more cooperative, more obedient, more open as Mary was with the Annunciation. The Visitation works the same way. The Visitation is Mary's charity, her sense of seeing the needs of others. And I picture Our Lady going to Elizabeth. Elizabeth full of joy. The two of them haven't seen one another for a long time. Mary couldn't get into a car. Elizabeth couldn't get on a train and go to visit each other. They saw one another rarely. So this was an important time for them to be together. And they made the most of it. They talked, they laughed, they sang songs, they baked bread together, they got the water from the well together. They had a great time, these two women who were closer than relatives because they were friends. And after the first few Hail Marys of thinking of that picture of Mary and Elizabeth together, then I think, who is it that needs me to visit them? Who have I not rung up on the telephone or written a letter to or gone over to visit in some time? Who would be happy to see me? And then in the last few Hail Marys I say, God, give me the grace to be like Mary and to be generous and to go out to those who need me without waiting for them to ask. The Nativity of Our Lord. I think of Mary and Joseph going into that cave. It wasn't a wooden stable, it was a stone cave they went into. Was Mary disappointed? Or was she excited with the possibility? Was she going around getting everything clean, and then all of a sudden feeling the time has come, Joseph, you better do the rest? Joseph is hurrying around, what do I do, what do I do? Like any man with a first baby coming along, what do I do? You know? And Mary's telling him, calm down, get some water ready, make sure there's some clean hay in the manger for the baby, get a couple of blankets, calm down, it's all going to be okay. I'm picturing this very normal event of the first child coming into the life of Mary and Joseph. And then I say to myself, how does God want to use me as he used Mary to bring Jesus into the world? How does he want to use me as he used Joseph to help Mary bring Jesus to others? Then the last few Hail Marys, I say, God, help me to give Jesus a new birth to others. And help me especially to be able to work with whatever I'm given. I may not have all the best tools and equipment that I need to proclaim the gospel, but let me work with whatever I have, just as Mary and Joseph worked with the simple stable of Bethlehem. The fourth joyful mystery, the presentation in the temple, I think of Mary, how relieved she was. You know, in those days, women who had children were considered unclean, and they were separated the whole pregnancy from their family. Once they began to show the baby, they could not go out and have social obligations, go to dinners with people, go to the marketplace, go to the well, which is why it was so good for Mary to show up just when Elizabeth entered the last 3 months of her confinement, so that Mary could do all those tasks for her. But then Mary herself was in that situation, and she was stuck in that stable. And if you had a girl, you were unclean for 80 days after the birth. For a boy, only 40. Which is why God had to come as a man. Mary would not have waited for 80 days. So after the 40 days, the woman then would go to the temple in Jerusalem. From Bethlehem to Jerusalem, it's about a 20-minute drive by car. Walking, it would have taken a good part of a day. She and Joseph and the baby Jesus go. And first, Mary had to go into a large bath. They had baths for men and for women outside the temple. The bath was called a mikvah. And Mary had to go in. There were women who attended her. She took off her clothing. She bathed herself. And then she put on her temple garment, just like the Christians had their baptismal garments. The Jews always carried their temple garments. She put it on. She went into the temple area in the courtyard, and she and Joseph had their two doves, two pigeons. They brought them to one of the priests, who slit the throats of the pigeons and then squeezed the blood out into a bowl. This blood then was taken and sprinkled on Mary, which is why they wore temple garments. You wouldn't be wearing different clothes every time you went. You'd be getting all full of blood. That's why we talk about being sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb. You can be grateful that we sprinkle you with holy water and not with blood in church when we have sprinklings. So Mary was sprinkled with the blood from her sacrifice. And then Joseph presented the baby Jesus to the priest. And the priest said, now, which would you like? When you want your baby back, or do you want to give us some money? And he said, I'll give you the money so I can have the baby back, and then you can keep the money, but I don't want the money for myself. This was called the redemption or the buying back of the firstborn. And so Joseph presented 5 coins, 5 shekels to the priest, and he received baby Jesus back. But he said, however, I will raise this child to be a true son of Israel, keeping all of the commandments and being faithful to the Lord his God. So this is what is the presentation in the temple. First, the purification of Mary, and then the presentation of Jesus to the priest, and then the buying him back so he could live with his family. I think of that whole picture. Then I think, you know, have I presented myself to the Father? Am I truly dedicated to God? What am I doing to bring other people to the temple and to present them to God and to purify them? Think of all the people I meet during the week, and you can think of the same. The people that you have opportunities to introduce to Christ through your ordinary actions in the home, at work, in the school. Then the last joyful mystery, the finding of Jesus in the temple. Jesus was not lost. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. Think of that. Jesus was not lost in the temple. He knew exactly where he was. Mary and Joseph just took for granted that he was with his friends. And when they left Jerusalem to go back to Nazareth with all their friends and family in a big caravan when Jesus was 12 years old, they thought that Jesus was with his friends. Just as so many parents, when they say, well, where's this one? Where's that one? So, oh, he must be with his friends. We just take for granted that's where the child is. And at the end of that first day in the evening, when they went to have dinner and Jesus didn't show up, they started going to all the other little campsites. Have you seen Jesus? Was Jesus with you? Say, oh, James, was Jesus with you today? No. They say, oh my goodness, he's not anywhere here. Then Mary panicked. And I always think of that. Mary panicked as any mother would. Mary was a human being. And when she realized that she had lost the Son of God, she must have been near hysterics. She said, Joseph, we have to go back. I don't care how dark it is, we're going back to Jerusalem. They'd already traveled a full day. They packed up and they went through the night back to Jerusalem. They didn't care about robbers. They didn't care about any trouble. She just had to get back and find that boy. And they went to search in all the places on the second day where they thought Jesus might be. They went to the bazaars and the markets. They went to the well. They went to the different hangouts where they thought a teenage boy might be. The last place they thought of was in the temple. If you parents were looking for one of your children who was lost, where would you go? Shopping centers, video arcades, the schoolyard, the football oval, all these places. The last place you would think of looking for your kid would be in the parish church. Hopefully, once in a while, one of our children does go to church. I talked to a young man the other day who said to me, he comes to me for spiritual direction. He's a big, strong kid, very athletic. You would never think to look at him that he even prays. But he comes and sees me once a month for spiritual direction. And he said, oh, Father, I was so embarrassed the other day. I went to church, and I was in church by myself. It was a Wednesday afternoon. I went to spend about an hour in prayer because I'm thinking over some decisions that I have to make. And all of a sudden, my mother came in, and I was so embarrassed. And I said, embarrassed? You probably made her day that your mother would come into the church to make a visit on her own and find her own son in there praying probably filled her with such happiness and joy to think that you go to church to pray on your own and not just when she drags you there. So when Mary finally found Jesus in the temple, she was relieved, but she was also filled with joy to realize that her son really was God. He really did have a relationship with God. And he said so. Why were you so worried? Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know exactly where I would be? In my Father's house? So you have to picture this whole thing. And then I say to myself, do my people ever find me in the church or in the chapel praying? Do I ever find myself alone with God before the Blessed Sacrament or reading from the Scriptures the way Jesus was studying the Scriptures when he was found? Do I ever make time to be with my real Father who is God? Then the last few Hail Marys I say, help me, Mary, to be found in the temple by you, just as you found Jesus in the temple.